Time to talk a little goaltending. Kevin Woodley from In Goal Magazine and NHL.com joins us as he always does every Monday. Kev, how you doing, my man?
I'm good. An intro. I'm honored and all jacked up after hearing that.
That's
my
joke,
man. And everything.
That's my joke. Crease Light. Anything with music, he'll tie it in together somehow, some way. So.
Works for me. Beautiful.
I'm sure he will have actually a Grease Lightning soundtrack to that next week, which would make it
sure. I'm not so sure that's a great idea.
Buddy, are you kidding me? Grease Lightning's awesome.
I was at a dance, a kid's school gala dance on the weekend with a lot of 50-year-olds, and that was a popular song for that crowd.
Hey, fire it right up, man. The kids probably loved it too. Let's start with goaltending and two goalies last night going at it in Vancouver. You watched both of them, Miller and Nilsson. Ryan Miller, a lot of people were skeptical if he could bounce back, and even though he lost for the first time in 13 games to the Edmonton Oilers, another solid performance by him. And Anders Nilsson just continues to shine in his second NHL game.
Yeah, really liked what I saw in Nilsson's game last night. And I know a lot of people didn't like the goal that did go in, but mm-hmm. I think, and including him, talking to him afterwards, he felt like that's one he should have. But if you take a look at it, there's a great replay from behind him. And you can see Fane kind of trying to track Bartkowski up at the point and effectively just did a great job of not allowing Nilsson to see the release. And he admitted that he didn't see it come off the stick. And it's so key. Being able to read that puck off stick for a goaltender, being able to read that release is such a big tell as to where it's headed at that level. And these guys, it's one of the things that separates them, that gets them to that level, is that ability to read pucks off sticks. And so once you take that away, take his eyes away, that's why we hate it when guys reach in at the last second and just get even when they don't get a piece, when they take away that ability to see the release cleanly, it makes it a lot tougher for goalies. And, I thought replays clearly showed that it also dipped, off of Fane as it went by him. So I know people didn't like the looks of that goal, but, when I broke it down, I didn't hate it as much as others did. And, a break on the Daniel Sedin lob wedge over the net. But other than that, just, a couple of breakaways and stayed with both of them. Such a big body and doesn't open it up or create holes in it anymore. Seems to really understand that at his size, he doesn't need to be aggressive. He has so much coverage, and you're going to hear me talk about this, over the course of the year. You've heard me talk about it already. Tracking and to touch on this head trajectory stuff that, the Oilers are ahead of the curve on with Dustin Schwartz as their goalie coach. How many pucks in good luck situations is Nilsson closing down on with the shoulders and getting a piece of with his shoulders and effectively not moving out of the way, Jason? And a lot of people are going to say, well, of course you don't move out of the way. Like, just let it hit you. But when you go down and look and break down tape of other goaltenders, high shots like that, so many of them open up that space up high, either by turning their head and their shoulders and their torso because they're trying to catch up to it with their hands and it pulls everything away from that space, or by defaulting into a block. And when we think of a block, instead of tracking down with our head, we think of dropping with our knees early and kind of pulling the shoulders back into that sort of straight back blocking butterfly. And from the puck's perspective, in terms of the path the puck has to take to the net, instead of that lean forward and closing down into the puck, that drop opens up space in the top of the net. And there were a handful last night that he made look easy that I don't think were as easy as he made look, just because he closed on the puck so well. And had a really good chance to talk with Cam Talbot. He was out there for close to an hour working with Schwartz in the morning. We had a good 20 minutes afterwards. And it's funny, again, people say, don't move out of the way. Well, of course, that's common sense. But Talbot's starting to understand it too, and in looking back at film of the way he played against the Rangers, lo and behold, oh crap, I was moving out of the way on some of those shots. I was turning with the glove hand and opening up space on pucks that would have just hit me if I didn't try and be so active with the glove. So learning curve there for Talbot, encouraging that he understands it so early. And as I said when they signed Nilsson in the summer, I believe that this was a big part of it. The fact he had touched on this stuff with Valiquette when he was in the minors with the Islanders and was interested in it and keen on it. I just thought it would be a good fit. And really, a goalie of his size and makeup, it's just even better for him, because you get him not moving out of the way and you really start to understand what the puck sees as it closes in on him in tight, and there just isn't anything there. And he seems to understanding it and seems to be executing it really well right now.
Kevin Woodley from NHL.com and In Goal Magazine. I know you had a long chat with Cam Talbot. Talbot's save percentage is only .909, but I think that's skewed a little bit. I think he's had a really good start to the season. What have you seen from Talbot since coming over to the Western Conference?
Hey, he admitted it. There's an adjustment here, you know. And, hey, I talked about it with Miller earlier in our conversations. Coming from the East to the West, new system, new coach, new shooters, new looks. It's different, and there's going to be an adjustment period. And I think also because there's an adjustment period for this team in terms of how Todd McClellan wants them to play. And, you know, the Oilers get a lot of attention for, is their defense good enough? I've always questioned whether their commitment to defense as a five-man unit was good enough, because you don't defend with good defensemen. You need five guys out there that are committed to making decisions on the right side of the puck and kind of doing the right things. And those habits are starting to form. And the beauty is there seems to be a lot of talking to Talbot. There seems to be a lot of teaching in there. They're not just, if you make a mistake in practice with these things, they stop and correct it. And that trust in the system and trust in each other, and for Talbot, that's huge, because he has to believe that his guys are going to be where they're supposed to be so that he can just do his job and not worry about other people's jobs. And I think that's been a problem in Edmonton in the past. The goalies didn't know what they had to take care of, and even when they knew what they were supposed to take care of, they still had to do other guys' jobs because it didn't get done correctly. But there's a real trust building here for the goaltender and Talbot in what's going on in front of him. And, you know, McClellan talked about it last night, that, you know, positives in the last two games, even though they were outplayed for stretches last night, in that, you know, some building blocks in terms of the trust and buy into that system. And I can't say enough how important that is for the guy who has to play behind it. And fans in Edmonton have had a great example of what it looks like when you don't have that trust, when you don't have that faith that your guys are going to be where they're supposed to be, so you have to worry about one thing, whether it's the shooter or whether it's, hey, I've got the short side, you've got the far side on a block situation. Just all those little elements add up for a goaltender. And right now, you know, it is early, and there have been some hiccups, but they all seem to be growing together towards having that trust in the system, and especially coming across the conferences and all the pressure that's on Talbot and all the new things that are involved in this. You know, that's really important that it's happening early.
Kevin, what isn't happening early is the Columbus Blue Jackets. They're terrible, and you know, their goals against average are Bobrovsky, and I could see it having one bad game, but he's got an .835 save percentage in five starts, and you know, like, even if the defense in front of him is bad, you'd expect better. What have you seen? What's gone wrong with Bobrovsky in goal thus far?
Well, I mean, we talk about trust and how quickly he can get off the rails. It looks like it's gotten off the rails there. I mean, when I went to look at all his goals to prepare for this segment, you know, this early in the season, I didn't expect it to take an hour. But there's a lot of them. You're right. It's terrible there right now. And some of it's on him. Absolutely. The chances they're giving up, the time they spend in their own end, and the chances they're giving up, it's not necessarily that it's all point blank or, you know, what a lot of people would think of as grade A, but already we see, again, guys getting out of position to block shots, and all they're doing is taking away their goaltender's eyes. You know, reaching in at the last second with sticks, and instead of helping, deflecting pucks and having pucks change direction that he seemed to have a good read on. And he said it early. He says he has no confidence right now. And, you know, I think he's talking about himself there, but part of that is in what's going on in front of him. The amount of open looks in front where the opposition, it's one thing to get a bang-bang play, and that's why I don't think that shot location is enough, because on a bang-bang play, if you're in position, no problem, but guys are getting pucks in front of him, sometimes on rebounds that he shouldn't be giving up. There's been a lot of those early, and they've got time to collect it and move it and change the angle and move it around in front of him, and I mean like from 3-4 feet in front of the crease, you know. And so that all plays into this. But in him, I see a guy, and his goalie coach is one of the best, in Ian Clark. He always used to talk about reacting from the knees instead of reacting from the skates. And Bob right now is reacting from the knees. And what I mean by that is, off the release, rather than shifting into pucks or reading pucks off the blade and moving your gloves or moving into them, his default is down to the knees and then react out. So again, that does a couple of things. It starts our path down. which means we have to catch up to pucks up high with our hands. Also, on pucks low along the ice, he's down to his knees square and then reaching with his legs. Just a lot more reaching in his game than I'm used to seeing, and that creates a lot of those rebounds that they're on him, but then those rebounds, what the Jackets are doing with him in terms of boxing out and taking care of guys in front is basically non-existent. So it all just kind of snowballs. I'm not letting Bob off by any means on this one, but you know, both sides of the coin have to be a lot better, both in front of him, and he's got to take care of a lot of that, you know, not create as much loose change and do a better job finding pucks and tracking pucks, because right now, even a lot of stuff from the point, he just looks like he's, you know, dropping and hoping straight down to the knees and then reacting out, and that's just a delay, that split second, and Corey Crawford, when he's off, does a lot of this, defaults to the knees and then reacts out with both his hands and his legs. And in the NHL, that split-second difference, you just can't get away with it for very long.
Quickly, I want to go back to reacting from his knees and not his feet. And you know, it's an interesting analogy. That's why I like to have you on, Kevin. And so when you're leading with your knees, really, that kind of gets the guy in a lot of sort of problems, both up and downwards. Whereas can you describe what are the positives when you lead with your feet?
Well, and not so much leading with your feet, but reacting from your skates. I mean, that puck comes off. And instead, so you've got your edges, and if it's being shot to your left, you know, you're either shifting into that ideally, or at least moving into it with your torso and your head and your eyes, and even if you're reaching with your hands a little bit, but you're kind of from the skates, you're reacting to the shot. When you start cheating down early, which is reacting from the knees, as soon as that puck is off the blade, that default is to drop straight down. Again, there's no shift or rotation. There's no movement of the torso or the body into the puck. It's just straight down. And it, like I said, it does two things. It causes a delay where our knees have to hit the ice before we then reach out with our pads or our hands or react. And that momentum of pulling us down with the knees, the hands come with it. So now the hands are starting down as the puck's off the blade, and now we see it's going up. We've got to pull the hands back up. Whereas if you're really reading that puck coming off the stick, and yeah, it gets a lot, you know, there are zones on the ice when things get so close to you that you don't have time to react to a puck off the stick. You just need to go to the knees and close all the holes and hope you've taken up enough ice that he's got nothing to shoot at. But from any kind of distance, you want to make sure that puck's coming off the stick and our default isn't down. We're patient enough with our read that we're reacting, again, from the skates into the puck, as opposed to reacting from the knees is basically defaulting to a butterfly down before we actually react to the shot. And it's a delay that causes all kinds of problems. It opens up a lot of net up high. It takes an extra second to use our hands. And it's so much harder to go back up with your hands once you've started down with your body. Everything's pulling away from the puck and not moving into it.
Great explanation, Kevin. One final one for you. Carey Price. Now, I know you spent a little time with him in the summer, and Price is off to a great start. To me right now, he's the best goalie in the NHL. What does Price do so well or better than the other guys that has him, you know, where he is slated right now at the top of the goalie pyramid in my books?
Well, I mean, he's basically he's like a human how-to goalie DVD. I mean, he's how you do it. And a lot of what he does well, there are a lot of stuff that is, I mean, just the way he reacts, the way he sees pucks, there are a lot of innate natural things. But the one thing that he does better than anyone is his movement and his crease movement patterns. And he moves around that crease with so much fluidity and power, but controlled power. When he's on, he is not sliding out of control. There's a lot of, even when he's sliding on his knees, it's under control. And some of it's natural, but he works at it. I don't know a lot of goaltenders who work more. And you see, he credits Rolly Melanson with instilling this early in his career, crease movement patterns. You watch him before practice. You watch him after practice. Watch him the next time they're on TV. If they have a camera on him before every period, just those last few seconds before they drop the puck, he's moving around his crease, what we call crease movement patterns, like there's a play going on in front of him. He's just constantly working on refining those movements. He's added, we talked about post-integration in terms of all the dead angle and sharp angle plays that are such a big part of the NHL game now. He's added all those into his movements. I mean, he reps out all the movements, gets something new, a new movement pattern. He reps it out until it's just natural and seamless and powerful and smooth, and it puts him in a position to use all the other things that he does so well in terms of having great hands. Again, we talk about tracking. He does that naturally very well in terms of closing on pucks rather than opening up. We've seen the adjustments with Stefan Waite in terms of cutting his stance at the waist, getting him more hunched over the last couple of years. Again, that's really fed into his tracking, doesn't pull off of puck, really moves into space, and the movement as well. As much as he practices is a big part of it, and I saw this on the ice with kids this summer because he was doing a camp with these kids, and you know, the kids would move from point A to point B on just a D-to-D pass, and they would come up with their head and their upper body and then do the big sort of open their hips and T-push across the crease. And, you know, Carey right away, because he's always done it naturally, recognizes that, listen, all that extra movement is just delays in getting there. Just follow that puck along the ice, rotate and go. None of this up and down. And Carey does not have a lot. When he's tracking and he needs to get somewhere, there isn't a lot of wasted movement. There isn't a lot of up and down in his head. Everything is just track and go. The rotation comes from his head movement and his body posture, and the work he puts in to perfect all of it is, again, it's above all. Kids should mimic him, not just in terms of how he moves around the crease, but I wish they could see just how much he works behind the scenes and before practice and all those times to move like that once the game, to have it be so natural once the game starts. I mean, it isn't as easy as he makes it look, and kids could learn a big lesson watching how hard he works to make it look that easy.
Kevin, love your stuff, man. And Price right now, he is a guy who just on a different level. And obviously, it's like anything, you got to put in all the work. You don't just naturally get good. The best players usually are the hardest workers. And so far, he is being rewarded. And as you mentioned, I can just visualize Price in goal, and you talked about the fluidity in the crease. To me, that's probably the best way to describe how he is, because he just always, he's able to go side to side, and really it looks like without any energy, and very smooth. Obviously that's not the case, but he kind of moves in the crease like Paul Coffey skated. It looks effortless at times.
That's a great description, and I'm sure like Coffey, as much as there was a lot of natural talent there, it was the work to perfect that natural talent that separates separates a Carey Price from the rest of the world. And right now, like you said, he is at the top of it. He is the separator. He is the human how-to DVD on goaltending. So watch it. And like I said, watch before you get a chance. They don't always put it on TV, but if anybody who's out there live at a game, you watch him before every period. Those crease movement patterns are a staple in his game, just to get him moving around the crease before every single time they drop the puck. And think of how long he's been in the league, and yet still, every time he makes sure he warms up and trains those movement patterns and gets himself going.
Kevin, look forward to talking to you next Monday, man. Have a good one.
My pleasure. Thanks.